With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
NFL Draft first round Thursday is officially here. Ohio State expecting a little bit of a lighter workload tonight for those graphics folks over in the Woody. That's Andy Backstrom in the middle of the screen. Tim May, the 41-year vet over on the other side of the screen. We're not expecting...
Wait. I'm getting a call. Go ahead.
We're not expecting a light workload at all because we're covering the NFL Draft. So we're going to talk Marvin Harrison Jr. because he's obviously going to be selected pretty... quickly. He'll be off the board pretty quickly on Thursday night. Andy, I'll start with you. Where's Marvin going? You got a prediction, and is he going to land with your Arizona Cardinals?
Potentially. I mean, that's where a lot of the mock drafts have him, but there are a lot of rumors right now, and this always happens because the draft is really just the media's best friend, because there's all these storylines. A lot of them are just conjured by people like us, the media, but a lot of the NFL media. There are rumors that there'll be a couple trades within the top five, maybe teams trading back and then trading back in. I saw one recently that was saying that the Cardinals would trade basically back to 11 and then trade up to 5 to take Marvin in a situation where Drake May and J.J. McCarthy are taken back to back at 3 and 4. So there's just like so much going on. But yes, most mocks have the Arizona Cardinals taking Marvin Harrison Jr. as the first non-quarterback in this draft. I think we all are of consensus that believe that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best overall player, at least the best non-quarterback in this draft. And I think that's really a special thing for him going into this last year. There was a lot of just, you know, hype around him being that great, and to live up to that and to have a year where you can still be in that standing, I think is a lot harder than people think it is.
Before we get to Tim, Andy, do you want the Cardinals to take Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I mean, absolutely. I think he's the most like surefire slam dunk. He's going to be a really good NFL player of all of these prospects. Like, you can look at some of the quarterbacks, some of the offensive linemen, say, hey, they could be really good. Their ceiling is really high. But as far as the most pro ready player goes, I mean, we've seen it in the Woody. I think even his kind of strategy going into the draft of training to play football and not training for the underwear Olympics that are the NFL draft and the combine and just the pro day process. I think that's been a good strategy for him to kind of hit the ground running. Like, he's going to be the betting favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, pretty much regardless of where he ends up.
Yeah, that's why I think it could be an interesting first round from a movement standpoint in terms of people jockeying for positions. You know, I've used that word with the Kentucky Derby coming up here quickly. But the bottom line is Marvin Harrison Jr. just pointed out, can help anybody immediately. And if there's a team that feels it's a contender that's lacking, you know, and you could name a few teams that would take a while, but a team that maybe just needs that one wide receiver to put them over the top, they think offensively to get after it. Marvin Harrison Jr. fits your bill. And if you're that close to being a legitimate contender, you know, do you really need this draft? You know, so there's a lot of I'm sure a lot of angst going on right now in some quarters. Do we give up this to get that for immediate help? Because Marvin Harrison Jr. will help you immediately, barring injury. And I think that's what will be the most intriguing thing to watch tonight. Because you know, you hate to see a guy like this go to a team that's still a project. You know, and I think Arizona is still a project. You know, I mean, any of those top couple of teams are still projects. You would hate to see it be wasted on that. So we'll see how it goes. But think about Marvin Harrison Jr. is he may not be that guy like a left tackle who's going to be there forever and cement what you've got going on up front and how you're, that's your building block and you're going from there. But like I said, as Andy said, he's a plug and play guy that can give you exactly what you need this year in the wide receiver core. That's why it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, you kind of look at the draft board, and obviously I think we all are in agreement that the top three picks, no matter who trades to where, are going to be quarterbacks. When it comes to Chicago's taking Caleb Williams, we all know that. I think we are pretty set on Washington taking Jaden Daniels, even though I don't really understand that. And then Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, depending on who trades to where, they're at three, with there so much being so much buzz around the Patriots potentially trading down. So that's the big question here is, like, if the Cardinals trade down and let a quarterback, does Jim Harbaugh, you know, let a quarterback go there at number four, does Jim Harbaugh take Marvin Harrison Jr., or does he take a tackle and cement his offensive line because we know what he likes to do? And then I don't think there's a world in which Marvin Harrison Jr., all I'm saying is here, I don't think there's a world in which Marvin Harrison Jr. falls below six, because the New York Giants need a wide receiver like it needs oxygen. They need oxygen. So, you know, I don't think he gets past six. And so no matter what happens tonight, if he doesn't get past six, he will be the highest drafted wide receiver in Ohio State history. You know, Terry Glenn, I think, went number seven. David Boston, I think, went number seven. You know, a couple other guys have gone.
Chris Carter was a supplemental draft pick.
So. Yeah, he doesn't count. You know, Garrett Wilson went 10. Chris Olave went 11. Jackson Smith and Jigba was 20. Nobody has ever gone in the top six. And so Marvin Harrison Jr. now going to cement himself, because I don't think it's possible for him to drop out of six unless the Giants are really set on Malik Nabers and other things happen before them. You know, I don't think it's possible for him to not set that record tonight, Andy.
Yeah, I think it's been, you know, this is the classic draft discourse with people talking about, is Marvin Harrison Jr. even wide receiver one? And it's because he didn't participate in the normal activities, right? It's because he didn't run his 40, or he didn't do any of the drills at the combine, or he didn't even talk to the media at the combine, didn't do his pro day. Like, people just love to just dance around all of that and say, well, that must mean that there's something wrong, or he's not confident enough, or he doesn't have that dog in him. I saw that today, which is just silly, and we all know that, of course. But I think it's just that's the parade that's always put on these days, like right before the draft. You see all of that. So I think it's been kind of comical. Not to say that Malik Nabers isn't a really good receiver. I think these top three receivers, maybe the best top three receivers we've seen in recent draft history, with Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, and Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, all three of those guys could have won the Biletnikoff if you really wanted to make the argument for them. So they're all great players. I just think that, as we said already, the most pro-ready guy is Marvin Harrison Jr. You probably could have drafted him in the top five last year and still been happy and have him produce for you. And maybe even, you know, he could have contended with C.J. Stroud to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. So it's just, you know, one of those things where people are just really just doing those mental gymnastics right now to make narratives out of nothing.
Well, here's the thing. Nobody likes saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And so, you know, guys in the media create, I mean, I saw somebody in the media the other day quoting a mock draft of somebody I'd never heard of, like it was breaking news. And it was pretty crazy. So you get bored between February and April on exactly what's going to happen. And that's, we've seen that happen with C.J. Stroud. We saw it happen with Justin Fields, unfounded stuff that starts. I mean, he doesn't have that dog in him. I mean, did they watch him play the Bulldogs, you know, Georgia a year ago? I mean, give me a break. He had a dog hit him in the head, or else he'd still been in the fight. But the bottom line is, yeah, that you find ways. But like Albert Breer and I talked about that on my show this week, the Tim May Show, is that those three guys you just named, Odunze, Malik Nabers, and Marvin, are all three different kind of dogs, you know, for want of another term. And I would say Marvin's the most housebroken. Now I'm just throwing, keeping the analogy going. Marvin's the most polished of those three in terms of giving you everything you want, including, and see how my voice went, including take the top off the defense speed, which I think has been sort of like forgotten when you talk about Marvin, when you compare these other guys. You know, Nabers is more of a just, you know, just a throw it to him, let him cut and go kind of dude. Odunze is a very good, go get the ball kind of receiver. But Marvin gives you all of that, plus a little bit extra that sets him apart. A little bit extra is just this, as I call it, this artistic sense that he has playing the game of football. And so that's why I take him over the other two. I think all three of them are outstanding, but I think Marvin stands above because of his artistic sense about the game of football.
I would agree with that. I think Marvin is going to be the top receiver taken, and if he's not, then GMs will probably be fired over that decision.
There might be an NCAA investigation.
GMs will be fired over other decisions too, based on tonight. You know, like I said, like I don't understand Jaden Daniels at number two, but I'm not a draft expert. I'm not paid to be a draft expert.
Are we going to argue that point?
No, not okay. at all.
Because I understand it. I'm not a big Caleb Williams fan, so that's just me.
Well, to each his own. I like Drake May. Andy, who's going to be the next
name? Go ahead.
Who's going to be the next Ohio State player off the board that's not named Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, I think, you know, it should be Mike Hall. But that being said, I think Mike Hall, and this was also in Tim's show with Albert Breer, you know, Albert Breer was saying that Mike Hall is the kind of guy that you either love him or you don't. And there's maybe a team that will reach on him. Maybe there's a team that doesn't fall in love with him. So it's going to come down to just where it is in the draft. I could see him going in the second round. I could also see him falling to, you know, the third or the fourth. DeJuan Jones last year was a guy that really probably should have gone in the second or third round, but kept falling in that draft and ended up going on day three. So, you know, sometimes there are these prospects that really should go higher. So I'm going to say Mike Hall should be the second Buckeye picked in this year's draft. But it wouldn't surprise me if Cade Stover is, because this is kind of a lighter tight end class. And after Brock Bowers is a bit of a drop off, and maybe someone falls in love with Cade Stover and his work ethic and his production and really just two full years of being a full-time tight end. You know, remember he was starting at linebacker in the Rose Bowl against Utah. Before that, he started his career as defensive end at Ohio State. So there's probably just some rawness there to play with. And just obviously his demeanor is really impressive as well. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's Cade Stover.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think the hay's in the barn yet with Cade Stover. How about that analogy? Number one. Number two, Mike Hall is, you know, as you can see, Mike Hall brings that little bit of extra from a defensive tackle position. I'm not saying he's the next Aaron Donald, but he has a lot of the Aaron Donald qualities that you look for as a guy that just jumps the gap, gets upfield, and gets after it. And he's a pretty good tackler, along with being a pass rusher, in my opinion. So he changes what a defense, what an offense is trying to do sometimes, and we've all seen it. But we've all seen it in fits and starts, right? The big question about him more than anything else is the consistency of playing, meaning being on the field and playing. I'm not going to use that cliche, the greatest thing you can say about ability is availability. I just said it, though, anyway. But other than that, he checks off a lot of boxes about, you know, he's 6'3", 298 pounds. He's gained about 10 pounds really since the season ended. Thinks he's got the size, thinks he's got the speed. You remember we were talking to him after the pro day there over there, Andy, after his workout when he impressed a few people again. Of course, he had this, you know, the Senior Bowl. He had the great Senior Bowl. I think he gives you that guy that if you want to take a gamble on, because I think he is second round at least type talent, but on a consistency basis, is it? But then I remind people, how many defensive tackles do you see playing 10 plays in a row in the National Football League? I think really the answer is none, or else you've never heard of them. So, you know, so he gives you that. And if a team is willing to take a little bit of chance on the availability aspect of things, I think they're getting almost a steal. It'd be a steal in the third round, but just on pure potential, I see him in the second round for all kinds of reasons. He can be a game changer.
Yeah, I think the pre-draft process was the perfect encapsulation of Mike Hall's Ohio State career. He dazzles at the Senior Bowl, but suffers a little bit of a setback right after the Senior Bowl. So he misses the entire combine process, and then people kind of start to forget about him.
Well, he missed the whole process. He still did interviews, but he didn't work out.
I'm talking about on the field, though.
Well, I'm just saying.
Nobody cares about interviews. What you do for me on the field. And so, you know, and the best ability is availability in the NFL. You only get 53 spots. Like, you have to be healthy in the NFL or you're not going to make it. They'll just cut you. So, you know, he's dazzles at the Senior Bowl. He's hurt for the combine. And then people start to forget about him. And right when you start to forget about him at Ohio State, he sacks Michigan State three times in an 8-play period, and then he doesn't play again. Right when you forget about him in the pre-draft process, he wows you at pro day when nobody really shows up to pro day because there's not really much at Ohio State to see this year. So, like, that is the encapsulation of his career. And if you're going to, if he's going to be what people think he could be, his availability has to increase. Because if it doesn't, I don't know what his NFL career looks like. If it does, though, and it hits, man, it's going to hit. It's going to be special. I think the floor there is like Draymond Jones, who I think is on his like third contract in the NFL, is making, you know, generational money for, you know, family members to come. And, you know, he's doing really well for himself, even if he's not like an all pro. That's like the floor for Michael if he's healthy. If he's not healthy, though, he's a second or third round pick. He's, you know, bounces around the league a little bit, and he probably has a productive career, but not the one that he probably is capable of having. And that's the thing, you know, we get asked, what problems was Albert speaking of when referring to Mike? Like, that's it. It's like, if you have to be healthy in the NFL, no questions asked.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You don't know if he's going to be until he's in the NFL.
Yeah.
So there's the gamble.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, taking him as the second Ohio State player is probably wise, because I think that ultimately is what happens. But it's probably a little bit more of a gamble than taking Cade Stover, because we know that Cade Stover is going to be available even if he's not healthy. So,
he's going to on it. I'm back in there.
Throw some dirt on it and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Anyone else, Andy, that you think deserves some buzz here as we head into draft night? Not to be drafted in the first round, but from Ohio State that you think, you know, at the end of the weekend, somebody's going to be like, man, they got a pretty good player there in the third, fifth round, sixth round. You know, that undrafted free agent, you know, it's a good pickup for them. You know, like, is there a guy that you want to highlight?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple. I mean, first is Tommy Eichenberg, who will definitely be remembered in this fan base for quite a long time. And you know it hurts him to not be able to finish his career, A, healthy, and B, with a Big Ten championship, a win over Michigan, and all that stuff that all those guys care about. But him, really more than anyone else, because he just is give-it-all kind of guy that was playing with broken hands in 2022 and was trying to play through more injuries. I think it was his elbow. Yeah, this past season, just one of those guys that will never complain, but it's always going to be on the field, like Cade Stover. I mean, they're roommates, they're friends. It kind of goes hand in hand, right? But he's going to be somewhat of a steal on the third day of the draft, probably rounds 5 through 7. Someone's going to pick him up, and you know he's going to play for you hard on special teams. He's going to be able to step in at linebacker as a depth piece. I think what he lacks in speed, he makes up for in his understanding of the game. Jim Knowles always talked about him as a quarterback at the defense. He was really the first one to process the Jim Knowles system, and everyone followed kind of suit after him. I think that will serve him well in the NFL. And so some of the athleticism that maybe he doesn't have that other players do in the league, he'll be able to kind of make up for that with his acumen about the game and how hard he plays in his effort.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Tommy Eichenberg is Rutgers. Are you kidding me? Isn't that right? Where we watch him walk out of the late going to the bus with his, I think it was his left arm in the sling and whatever. And Rutgers. Are you kidding me? That's the game. And then how he got himself wanted to play, you know, from then on anyway. So the last part of his season was showing you why, if you're an NFL team, you would want Tommy Eichenberg on your team just from the want to aspect of things. You know, I don't even need a painkiller. Just get me in there. Flip side of it is, it's an example of why you might not draft him, because the way I understand that the elbow is still bugging him, you know, of course it is probably. And maybe I can get this guy as a free agent. I mean, I think he's going to get drafted. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I like everything about Tommy Eichenberg except his post game quotes. Those are great examples of why you should take a guy and why you shouldn't take a guy. I think he can play in the NFL. No questions asked. I don't really have a big question about his athletic ability or prowess or times. He had pretty good shuttle times, things like that. So he can play. It's just a matter of, do you want to roll the dice drafting a guy who may or may not be over his injury and may or may not get over his injury? Who knows? You know, Steel Chambers is a guy who can help you. I mean, he can help you on special teams at least. I mean, he's got decent speed, and he wants to play the game. So that's what I like. But the guy, of course, I've got my eye on because I've had my eye on him now for 7 or 8 years from Owosso, Oklahoma, is Josh Proctor. Because I think Josh Proctor came into his own finally last year, healthy, had his mind straight, et cetera. And I think he played extremely well. There's a guy I think is going to get drafted. I don't know why. I mean, I definitely feel that way. He had good workouts, et cetera. Boy, as long as you're not counting on him to intercept the ball, because I think he's still got to work on those hands, right? Josh Proctor is the guy I've definitely got my eye on in this draft.
Yeah, Tim, I thought you were going with Steel Chambers, so I was going to talk a little bit about Josh Proctor.
That was called a curveball.
Yeah, definitely. I agree, though, because, look at what Ronnie Hickman did last year. Yep. Undrafted, goes to the Browns, but he's a smart, instinctual player from the Jim Knoll system, so it's an NFL-style defense. What does he do? He goes into that system, and he starts a couple games because of injuries. Like, if you put Josh Proctor on your roster, he's athletic enough to play special teams. He can add something to you if he's active on the 53-man roster. Again, you only get 53 of these guys. You have to show that you're versatile enough to do things. Josh yep. Proctor is versatile, played all three safety spots in college. He is athletic enough to play special teams at a high level in the NFL, and he's driven to do so. He'll do anything you ask of him. He spent 6 years getting on the field at Ohio State. Like, I think that he could not only get drafted in, like, the fifth round or sixth round, but he's going to put those medicals behind him. He can do, a couple things on special teams to impress. And if you need a spot start in week 14 when you're trying to make a playoff push, there's Josh Proctor having maybe he gets his hands on a couple passes, like you said, Tim, and bats him away and helps you win a football game.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big guy, too. That's the other thing about him, compared to a lot of safeties, number one. And then number two, this Spence, you give him a head start, he'll run in and run into anybody and hit them really hard, So, what are you looking for, right?
Yeah, I mean, if Ronnie Hickman can do it is what I'm saying, I think Josh Proctor can do it. And so Ronnie Hickman showed the way last year. Josh Proctor can follow that example and go do it himself.
Hey, let me ask you a question. What do you think? Why do you think Hickman went undrafted? What was it because of the group he was coming out of, a defense still trying to sort of find its way, although it was pretty decent. It was decent in 2022, but not great. I mean, what do you think?
He didn't test at the combine. He didn't perform well at pro day. He didn't play as well in 2022 as he did in 2021 when he had racked up a bunch of tackles on a bad defense. I didn't think the NFL saw what it wanted to from him.
What does it say about the process, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, but if he would have went through the process, he probably would have been drafted. It's pretty simple. Yeah. Andy?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that we also have to mention is that a lot of these guys that are going in day three, sometimes they don't always want to be drafted, because if you're an undrafted free agent, you have more of a say where you go. And if there's an opportunity on a roster you feel like you can win a spot on, maybe that's better. So for Ronnie Hickman, maybe he was actually kind of happy that he wasn't picked in the seventh round late sixth, because he was able to find a spot on the Browns and play his way onto the roster. But that's where it leads me to someone like Mayan Williams or Xavier Johnson. I think those are guys that maybe want to be undrafted free agents. I mean, everyone would love to be drafted, right? That's a great moment. But those are guys that if they find the right spot where they can play their way on through special teams and find a role offensively, maybe they stick. Maybe they make a 53-man or at least find their way onto a practice squad. I mean, Mayan Williams is the kind of back that I think we've all seen in the NFL that you're not expecting to see, but it's week 13 of the season and there's injuries and someone comes in and they get their opportunity, and next thing you know, they're the hero of the game because running back X has a great day. And maybe that's the way he gets a shot. And Xavier Johnson is the pinnacle of special teams, which are so important in all football, but especially the NFL, where most games are decided by 1-2 possessions, and they play a lot of that swinging field position throughout the game, and he's going to be important. So I think that those are two players that even if they don't go drafted, I wouldn't be surprised if you hear them in the NFL, this season or next.
Let me give you an anecdote. 1984 is the first year I covered Ohio State football. And 1985, Keith Byers was coming back. Probably should have won the Heisman probably in 84. Doug Flutie, Hail Mary, you know all about that. But against your beloved Boston College. I mean, for your beloved Boston College against Miami, Anders. But anyway, coming back in 85, Keith Byers breaks a bone in his foot, fifth metatarsal. The day we were moving out here to our present house we live in now, my wife and I, in 1985, outside of West of Hilliard, Keith Byers breaks his bone in his foot in practice that day, the only practice I missed all that year. Anyway, sitting in his house on draft day, didn't have anywhere close to a full season in 85. He's still a big-time talent. I'm sitting in his basement with him and his family and one other news guy in west of Dayton. And lo and behold, the Philadelphia Eagles call. They're about to be the next pick. Philadelphia Eagles call and ask him whether he'd be interested in having a pin put in the broken bone in his foot. And he goes, no, because they were basically going on faith and it was going to heal on its own. It was going to be good to go, right? And so he hangs up. He had never heard from the Eagles before in the draft, right? Well, 10 minutes later, the Eagles made him a first-round draft pick. So, you know, you think you know who's picking whom, but like I've always told players, man, throughout the time I've been covering Ohio State, you don't have to convince 32 teams that you're a viable pick. You really got to convince one, you know, and you hope your agent is really ringing up guys heading into the draft, kind of zeroing in on a team, because we've all seen that this isn't a pecking order type draft. It is who helps me most with where I want to go in the National Football League. You don't take them top to bottom based on pure talent. And you hope some of these guys are getting some help, like Matt Jones. You know, Matt Jones is almost a forgotten warrior, isn't he, at this moment, Spence?
Yeah.
And, he is. You know, go ahead. And he started for Ohio State. You know, it's like he's a big dude. But where's he going to go? He's probably going to end up a free agent, you know, it looks like. But you never know.
Yeah, he's going to have to work his tail off to get a roster spot, because offensive line, it's even harder than everywhere else, because you don't really get to play special teams, because they just throw offensive linemen out there on special teams, you know, defensive linemen block for field goals, stuff like that, because they don't really need guys to be active. So, like, he's going to have to work really hard to earn a roster spot. Guys who won't have to work really hard to earn a roster spot because they could be drafted in the first round, we're going to get to that now. There's a lot of talent on this Ohio State roster, the current Ohio State roster. 1-85, it might be the best roster in college football right now. Andy, we're going to end the show this way. If there's one player on the Ohio State roster, current Ohio State 2024 spring roster, I guess summer roster, that you are most certain will be a first-round pick, and we can't – Tim, you can't say the same as Andy's answer, and then I have to go third. And
well,
I
wait
have,
a minute, though. Go ahead.
No, if Andy picks him, then you don't get to pick him. It's like the draft.
Okay.
And then if you pick him, I don't get to pick him. So I get the worst end of the straw. I get the worst end of the stick.
If I want to trade my pick to you, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Andy, who are you most confident on this entire roster is going to be a first-round pick?
Emeka Ogbuka, because we were talking to him about how he could be a first-round pick this year going into last season. And if it wasn't for an ankle injury, he might be going in the first round tonight. So yep. I'm very confident he'll be a first-round pick. And as much as we talk about Jeremiah Smith and
– wait a minute, are we just saying one guy?
Well, Jeremiah Smith's not eligible for the draft. I'm just saying that Emeka Ogbuka is going to be a star this year. We can move on.
I'm going to say Jeremiah Smith, because when Spence laid it out, he didn't throw that parameter on there.
No, I'm talking about
Instead of saying Jeremiah Smith, who you already named, I'm going to say Julian Sayin. I see big time capability in that guy 2 years from now going into the National Football League draft if he stays healthy, et cetera, and probably ends up winning the starting job. Who knows? But then going into next year's draft, is that what we're saying?
Just anyone on the roster.
Oh, okay. All right. Can we name another one after you get done?
No. You can name one right now. Go ahead.
Guys, I don't know if you agree. The way he ended last year, the way he looked in the spring – I'm just going to pick one of the two. I think Jack Sawyer is really coming on. So I'm going to say Jack Sawyer also.
Oh, jeez.
It's one of my ones.
Mark it down, folks. April 25th, 2024, I let them have the first two picks, and I still get Jeremiah Smith. Okay?
Anders and I both named Jeremiah Smith.
It doesn't matter.
Facto.
It doesn't matter. That was your one pick. Andy took Emeka. You took Julian Sayin and Jack Sawyer in a two-person draft, Tim. And I get Jeremiah Smith all to myself. What world are we living in? Jeremiah Smith is the most sure thing first-round pick. He could sit out for 3 years, and I still think an NFL team would take a chance on him because of what they've already seen. And I'm not
Sonny
kidding.
Sonny Styles. I'm going to get that name out there. Sonny Styles. Go ahead.
But Jeremiah is already 6'3". He's already 215 pounds. He's already put on the highlights. And if he turned in his film right now to an NFL team, they would probably take him in the first round because of the potential already, right now, tonight. And
just
so,
like if, last year with Marvin, all those scouts, everybody left talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. after he did work out in the Whittier's Athletic Center for everybody on Pro Day 2023. You just should have been there, you know, last year instead of this year. You know, you'd gotten to see Marvin Harrison Jr. work out and wow you. This idea that he didn't work out for the pro scouts is just mind-numbing because he already has.
Yeah, exactly. And Jeremiah could just sit around and do, you know, just workouts in the Woody for 3 years, and I think he'll be an NFL a first-round pick. He's that talented. So I will take him as the most sure thing first-round pick on the entire roster. The NFL draft is tonight. Luckily, the meeting of the minds here, whatever you want to call us, it's definitely not a Mensa meeting going on here, between Andy Backstrom, the 41-year vet Tim May on the other side of that screen, and me, Spencer Holbrook. We're going to be sitting back. I've got some food cooking for the draft. I love the NFL draft. Tim loves the NFL draft.
Andy, I like it.
We'll full coverage of Ohio State at the NFL draft at LettermanRow.com. Go there right now. Get your first 2 months for $1 using the code OSU1. That's right. 2 months for $1 using the code OSU1 at LettermanRow.com. We'll see you guys over there. We'll see you back here on the YouTube channel to break down wherever these guys land in the NFL draft, maybe sometime early next week.
Cut.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.